Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Back in Studio A this morning, and I want to welcome my guest back to KSJE, archaeologist Paul Reed, who, of course, works with Archaeology Southwest. He's done a lot of work also at Salmon Ruins and Chaco Canyon, among other sites here in the region. Paul Reed is joining us this morning from his home. Paul, good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Scott. So glad to be back on.
You bet. Great to have you here. And I want to also welcome our other guest who is joining us this morning over the phone today, and that is Teresa Pasquale. Teresa is the director of the Acoma Tribal Historic Preservation Office at Acoma Pueblo. And Teresa, thank you for joining us this morning. We had a hard time connecting with you, and it's probably more our fault. So thank you for your persistence in calling in this morning. We're glad to have you as part of the conversation. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You bet. Great to have both of you on the program. And let's get started by talking a little bit about maybe the work of the office that you work with, Teresa Pasquale, and that is the Historic Preservation Office. Of course, I hope everyone in the audience is familiar with the Acoma Pueblo and what a great historic area it is, but also a living and breathing place in our state and a great resource in New Mexico. But talk about a little bit about the office and the work that it does under your leadership.
Sure, thank you. Well, for folks who may not be familiar with the Pueblo of Acoma, we sit about an hour west of Albuquerque, a little due south of the town of Grants. Our Acoma Pueblo has a number of offices and departments that help facilitate services not only for the community, but also to help resources like cultural, archaeological, and historical resources that is managed here within my office, the Acoma Tribal Historic Preservation Office. We have a number of staff in our office, and what we do directly impacts our ability to locate and know where these resources are, not only within our home boundary, but within the ancestral lands that extend far beyond our current reservation boundary. We have ancestral homelands that span the Four Corners area, so we're talking about Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and further reaches within New Mexico, places that our people left their footprints, maintain cultural connections, and traditional uses of for hunting, gathering, and other ceremonial uses. Our office helps not only state agencies, but federal agencies to do long-term management of those kinds of resources.
Got it. Thank you very much. And that seems like a lot to keep track of. And as you mentioned, some of the wide-ranging views that you have of some of the other sites in and around New Mexico and beyond the state lines because of kind of the historic nature of the Acoma people and some of the movements around the Southwest, and that's part of, I believe, kind of tribal and Pueblo philosophy, right? Is that the spirits of your ancestors remain in some of these very meaningful places?
Yes, I think that most tribes who do this kind of cultural resources work will testify to the fact that our work is not just within the parameters of where our current people reside. In this case, for the Pueblo of Acoma, because we have active use areas that extend beyond our community, not only for present-day gathering of resources or ceremonial resources, usage of those ceremonial resources, we have folks who actually make pilgrimages out to these areas that are very distant. So some of these places are visited, you know, as our cultural calendar dictates to us when we should be in those areas, as well as many of these places are frequented through our prayers and our songs, even though we may not physically visit them throughout the year. And so we maintain this connection to place because it is that relationship between people and land and memory, in which the land holds that collective memory for us, as well as those places that bring alive those origin narratives that our people hold dear. Those places then become significant in terms of holding our community together, sustaining our language and our culture and the education of our children, but become a foundational aspect to the identity formation of our Pueblo children.
I see. Thank you for that. And I guess that then leads to our larger conversation today about having a voice at the table, maybe, when we're talking about some of these very important, sacred, meaningful places that that may not, to some people, have a direct connection to the Acoma Pueblo, even though it does have a very strong connection to the history and stories and culture of the Acoma Pueblo. And how important is it to maybe have a voice at the table when we're talking about preservation and interpretation of sites that are maybe hundreds of miles away from the Pueblo proper?
Sure. For many decades, many tribes across the country were having to deal with a lot of the policies and laws and processes that came out of those laws in terms of cultural resource management. And for many decades, the collective call from all tribes, including Acoma Pueblo, was we wanted a seat at the table. We now have made enough progress where tribes have in fact gained a seat at the table when these long-term management plans or policies or processes are initiated. Now tribes are asking for, and this is what we ask for at the Pueblo of Acoma, is we've gained the seat at the table. Now we want to help develop those plans for long-term resource management. We want our voice to be integrated into those management plans. And so over the past, I would say 30, 40 years, what we've seen now is a shift to how do we now incorporate that knowledge that the tribes bring into those processes, into those laws, into those policies that affect long-term management of our public lands, because many of these public lands contain those resources that are integral to tribal communities in present day.
And is this mostly, Teresa Pasquale, dealing with the federal government, or do you find some of these issues popping up when dealing with state governments, or is it the same no matter who you're trying to talk with?
Well, it's a bit of both. In terms of the majority of public lands, and this varies from state to state, here in the state of New Mexico, we have both. We have federal agencies that manage large swaths of public lands like the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the National Park Service, and so on and so forth. And then we have state land agencies like the State Game and Fish. We have the State Land Office. There are state holdings where cultural resources, archaeological and historical resources may be located on state lands. So we have to work with both.
I see. And it seems to me that on paper, at least, it should work pretty well, because there should be a government-to-government relationship, at least at the federal level, between these sovereign Native American tribes and Pueblos, to have these conversations with the federal government. But life tells me it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, yes, there is that government-to-government relationship that tribes have with the federal government based upon the fact that there is this expectation that tribes have, and it varies across the state. But here in the state of New Mexico, when we talk about tribes and that relation with federal government, it's the recognition of the sovereignty that the Pueblos and tribes have here. We are a little bit different than tribes, say, in Oklahoma or in Nebraska or in other places where they have treaties that were either executed or not between the governments and the tribes. We have a little bit of a different status here as Pueblos here in the state of New Mexico, but it's this recognition of that sovereignty and what those federal responsibilities are that the government has to tribes. And so that's where that government-to-government relationship exists. In the state of New Mexico, we have the State Tribal Collaboration Act, which then specifies that the states, the department secretaries of the different divisions should meet and coordinate their activities in consultation with tribes directly to avoid having to impact either resources that are important to tribes or implement a project that is absent tribal voice.
I see. Thank you very much. And I want to bring Paul Reed back into the conversation here this morning as well. Paul, you and I think have talked about this topic on earlier programs, and I think this idea of consulting with Native American governments and peoples and pueblos has been evolving over the years and hopefully heading in the right direction. But this has been part of our conversations and part of your work, I think, for the last several years, because we've talked about it here on the show numerous times of how important it is to make sure that everyone who is impacted by some of these decisions that are made in Washington or Santa Fe have a seat at the table.
Right, Scott, that's exactly right. And you know, the work that we've done around Chaco is a really good example of this. And this is something that Teresa's office, the Pueblo of Acoma, their historic preservation office, has been involved in the whole time. You know, we've talked on the show a couple of times about the resource management plan amendment that BLM and Farmington is implementing in the Chaco region and, you know, some areas outside as well. And what's really been great for me working with Archaeology Southwest, you know, a nonprofit, is being able to connect with the various tribes and pueblos of state, and really for our part, help ensure that their voices are elevated into the equation, and that when we're talking about the preservation of irreplaceable treasures like Chaco Canyon, like the sites at Salmon and Aztec, and many, many others across the Four Corners region, that the tribal voices are up there equal to any other voices that are being heard. And, you know, I think, as Teresa said, this has been an evolving relationship with the federal government. You know, there's regulations on the book for decades, as she noted, that require tribal participation. But I think really getting tribes involved is much more on a recent scale, 10, 15 years or so. And really, the Pueblo of Acoma has led this effort in the Southwest, particularly with the work with Farmington office of BLM, but many, many agencies. So yeah, Teresa and that office have really had impact, I think, across multiple agencies. And, you know, I've been able to help be part of that effort along with some of the other things that we're doing. And I've known Teresa for what, Teresa, about 15 years. So it's been a very valuable friendship and association for me through those years.
And Paul Reed, with that assistance and advocacy from the Pueblo of Acoma, has that helped, I guess, other maybe smaller pueblos and other tribes maybe with their voices as well because of this work?
Well, I can certainly address that, but I do believe that Acoma has led on many of these efforts. You know, other pueblos have been involved. Zuni has been very active as well. You know, the Hopi tribe from Arizona has had their voice, and many other groups that, I don't want to exclude. New Mexico has 23 tribes and pueblos, so, there's and all have been active to the degree that they're able to be on these different issues. But I don't think there's any question about ACOMA's leadership on this front.
Very good. Thank you, Paul Reed. Teresa Pasquale, I'll come back to you. Kind of same question with, with your advocacy and talking with these government agencies and working with them, with your other partners and other tribes and pueblos in the region and in the state. Does that seem to get a louder voice maybe for your position with these governmental agencies and government officials?
Yes, certainly there's strength in working collaboratively and advocating for policy shift or change collectively. Certainly there have been a number of pueblos that ACOMA has continued to work for. As Paul was noting, these issues are important to all of the various tribes here in the state of New Mexico. What is different, though, is that many of us may not have always the capacity to be able to tackle these issues at the level that we would like to. And so that is where the strength of working as a collective comes into play, where we can leverage our strength together on many of these issues or projects. To help one another when a particular community doesn't maybe have the capacity or resources to participate fully. We've tried to alleviate that burden, as we move forward in many of these projects.
Got you. Thank you. And we talked briefly or mentioned briefly the long-term management of some of these sites that is now kind of part of the conversation. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about your thoughts about that. I guess we can look at Chaco, but there's other places too. But I know Chaco holds special meaning to the Pueblo of Acoma and others in the state. What are some of the maybe I don't know if concern is too much strong of a word, but what are your thoughts or feelings about the long-term management of sites like Chaco Canyon?
In the case of Chaco Canyon, ACOMA, along with many other tribes, has continuously advocated for the agency, in this case, the Bureau of Land Management, which manages that larger Chacoan landscape outside of the national park. And so we're talking about, when we talk about Chaco, we're not necessarily talking about the park as a standalone, but talking about those lands that comprise that greater Chacoan landscape. Those are managed both by the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and there is some state land office holdings within that area. Part of what we've continuously advocated for is for those agencies and entities to work together and not make land-based management decisions in silos, but also to work with the tribes directly in gaining an understanding of what types of resources may be out on the landscape. We've traditionally approached long-term management of those lands using an archaeological lens. And while that's beneficial, ACOMA has continuously held the position that not all of those resources may be archaeological-type resources. There may be other types of resources that may not be even visible to the most trained archaeologist. And so that's where we have to incorporate the knowledge and the skills of our own tribal people to identify those resources. And so what we've continuously cautioned against is making those long-term management decisions absent of that information.
Thank you. And Teresa Pasquale, we are almost out of time this morning, but I wanted to ask you if you had any advice for maybe non-tribal or non-Pueblo peoples or visitors to some of these sites and how they should understand the connection of these sites across the Southwest to the Pueblo of Acoma and other Pueblo peoples and native peoples in the areas today. What would your advice be to them?
My first thing will be to say to welcome people to all of these lands. These lands, of course, were the ancestral homelands, and some of them are presently being used as present-day villages by all of our tribes and pueblos here in the state of New Mexico. But it's recognition that all of these lands were at one time ancestral lands and continue to be not lands of the past, but lands that are used present-day. And because of that, when you go out and visit or hike or take your family to many of these public lands, we ask that you visit with respect. Leave no trace behind. Make sure you take everything with you that you brought in, but also to visit those places respectfully and know that our tribal communities depend on these lands and those resources to sustain their communities in present day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as someone who has visited, had the honor of visiting the Pueblo of Acoma, it's really a special place in our state, and it's great to see it and be able to have it open for public visitation from time to time. So thank you for that as well. And thank you, Teresa Pasquale, for appearing with us on the program this morning. We really appreciate it, and thanks for being patient with us as we figured out our connection issues today.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Paul Reed, I want to come back to you a little bit just to help us wrap up the conversation this morning. A lot of great points made by Teresa Pasquale and the perspective of the Acoma Pueblo and others in New Mexico, and it's part of the work that you are doing to have these conversations, these really important conversations, as we talk about long-term management of a lot of these really important and sacred sites in our state.
That's absolutely right, Scott. And the perspective that Teresa brings, the Native representatives bring, is something that, as she noted, we haven't had and we can't have unless we have those very important voices at the table. You know, the point about resources on the land is a huge one. I know in some of the work that Acoma and other tribes have done, they go out and look at landscapes, and then the areas that are considered important as sites sometimes increases by double from what the archaeologists would see on the land. So, you know, this isn't a perspective we've missed for decades, and I'm able to have a small role in seeing sort of archaeology and cultural work evolve. And as I've said many times, Scott, it's very exciting. And I want to say, Teresa, thank you so much for joining in. We're sorry about the technical issues, but we'll definitely check in again next year and kind of see where things are at.
That would be great. That'd be great. Paul and Teresa Pasquale, thank you both very much. Happy holidays to all of you, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.